We are going to start our luncheon presentation. Please continue to enjoy your lunch during the presentation. And thank you again to Miller Chevalier for sponsoring the lunch. Our next speaker is Mark Gerson. Mark is a partner at Miller Chevalier. His practice focuses on tax policy and legislative matters. He was previously majority counsel for the House Ways and Means Committee. He's also a fellow of the American College of Tax Counsel. And so today, Mark is going to talk with us about the legislative outlook in light of our new political world and administration change, one of the few topics I think that gets public attention from the tax world. And I really can't think of anybody better to do that for us. So thank you, Mark. Please join me in welcoming Mark Gerson.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak today. I really appreciate it and really appreciate the opportunity to come down and visit with you. I thought for today, first, we'd go through the election results, for the administration, the House, the Senate, and also talk about the impact on the tax writing committees, talk a little bit about lame duck, kind of the remainder of the year and what may or may not be accomplished, and then spend most of the presentation talking about next year. I'm happy to take questions at the end, but also, would love this to be a discussion, so feel free to interrupt if you have questions or need clarification or something. So first, turning to the White House, which, in a lot of ways is, kind of a repeat election that in many ways no one was kind of looking forward to. And it really was a repeat in the sense that it came down to, kind of the same seven battleground states. And even with the, kind of late substitution of Vice President Harris for President Biden, it really was, as anticipated, the kind of the safe Democratic states and the safe Republican states stayed the same. And it was all about, these seven battleground states where you had 93 electoral votes up and really decided the presidency. 270 electoral votes needed to win. Trump wound up with 312, which was like a resounding victory that I don't think many predicted, and a sweep of all the battleground states. So he took back the six seats that Biden won in 2020 and then held on to North Carolina. And this is, a resounding victory being viewed as kind of a mandate, which I think will be very important, as the Congress starts to move and process legislation and what impact the president has, as we'll talk about, particularly in the House. So turning to the House, where we actually just got final results this morning, Republicans have been operating the last 2 years with a very narrow margin, effectively a 221-214 margin. We saw that play out, very difficult for Republicans to stay on the same page and process legislation. We obviously saw a change in the speaker. We saw leadership votes kind of fail on the House floor. And so I would say, prior to, let's say, the last 3 to 5 months, the going assumption was that Democrats were going to take back the House and take back the House with like a really significant margin. We're talking 20 or 30 seats, which is interesting given that, a lot of seats, and particularly from redistricting, a lot of seats are relatively safe, but you had about 70 seats at play. We had, kind of the standard retirements on either side, but they were really from safe districts. And what turned out is that Republicans were able to maintain control of the House. It turned out, at the end of the day, and this needs to be updated, 220 Republicans, 215 Democrats. So Democrats essentially picked up one seat. A very narrow margin at 220 to 215, but more importantly, that 220 number, at least for the first quarter of the year, is going to be 217, which is the minimum to actually pass something through the House. So all the Republicans need to stay on the same page in order for something to move through the House. That's a reflection of the president-elect kind of plucked three House Republican members to serve in the administration. Those seats are not filled until there are special elections. For the two Florida representatives, that is not until April 1st.